Good morning, family. The names have changed. It used to be Eddie's favourite saying. He used to say, good morning, family, when he didn't notice this. But like I said, the race is still going. We're still having to preach the gospel this morning. We come to the book of Mark, where Jesus is showing us the way, how to speak the gospel, how to live our lives. In Mark chapter 1, verse 12, he says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. And notice he doesn't say that when Jesus was baptized and the Spirit took him away, it wasn't a rose garden. Everything wasn't all rosy and everything was there for him. But he went into the wilderness. When we were first born again and we were first baptized and baptized in the Spirit, how many times when we was in the wilderness at home, our family, our friends who were not in Christ started arguing with you, saying, oh, it's just a phase, it'll pass. It's not, you know, he'll get over it. But when you're convicted by the Holy Spirit, when you know, it's there for life ever, isn't it? It's staying with you all the time. And that's where in the wilderness, that's where Satan's trying to attack you, because you've just, you're like a new born baby, aren't you? You're just beginning your ministry, and he's there ready to attack you, to give you doubt, to give you fear. But the Holy Spirit is always there. He's our protector and helper. Yes, we have angels to protect us. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit to protect us. In 2 Thessalonians 3-5, it says, may the Lord lead your hearts into our full understanding and expression of the love of God and patient endurance that comes from Christ. Put on the full armour that comes from the Spirit. And you know, let us battle on, but with the Holy Spirit in us. We have need to battle on. We can't do it on our own self. Our self is gone. We've got Christ in us now, haven't we? Satan, we don't like to talk about him really. He might be a myth. The world thinks there's hell and heaven, or so what? I go to hell, I can party. Heaven's boring. You know, I just saw them do-gooders are going to heaven. I'd sooner go to hell. They take it as a joke. But I'm here to say that it's serious. There is a hell, there is a heaven. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And we need to know that where we stand in Christ, where we stand in the world, is where we're going to go. We knew where Eddie was going. That's why we were celebrating. We didn't know where, the non-believers, well, we know where non-believers are going. They're going to hell. You can be good as you want. You can give as much as you want. You can be charity and whatever. But if you're not giving your life to Christ, you're going to hell. You hear about when there's been accidents and there's been a death, or there was a good person. They're going to go to heaven. But no, if they haven't given their life to Christ, they're not going to go to heaven. That is why Jesus is showing us the way when he was baptized in water and then he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He repented. Well, he was sinless, but he was showing us the way that through John the Baptist that we had to repent of our sins, be baptized in water to repent of our sins, and then be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's what's leading us out. It's what makes us unique. It's what makes us different from the world. Yeah? And you think that when John the Baptist was baptizing him in water, that it was a new thing. You know, because to get rid of the sins, they had to sacrifice cattle, didn't they? Sheep, goats, doves, whatever it was, for the sins. But now they were saying it's in water. But when he was unclean, when he touched a dead body, they had to wash themselves, didn't they, in running water. Naaman cleansed himself in water from leprosy. He had to duck himself 7 times, didn't he? And there was many times over Scripture, there was a pool in Jerusalem where they had to, if they got in there, they washed themselves, they were healed of the infirmities or not leprosy, whatever it was, taken away, yeah? But So they was used to water, but it was a different way of doing it. And we don't come to that till the end of Jesus' ministry, when we know why we've been baptized, why, that he is the one that, that's the Lamb of God. Yeah? That through him all our sins are washed clean, not through animals. It's Jesus' blood that cleanses us, not the animal blood. See, he opposes, Satan opposes God and all God's people. He's behind every evil scheme on this planet. Idolatry, cults, false religions. He's still desperate to be worshipped. He wants to destroy God's kingdom, and he knows his time is limited. He too has probably read the word of God as well. He knows that he's going to be defeated, but yet he still has the belief that he can defeat God. He still thinks he's there, doesn't he? In 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." That's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Even with all his power and energy, Satan is still subordinate to God. God alone is the Most High. While Satan is clearly the center of all evil in the universe and controls much of what goes on here on earth, he has no power over those who have given themselves to God and trusted in God's Son. We are protected from this source of evil by the true God we worship. In Psalm 121, verse 5 to 8, it says, "I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you slumber. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever." So we have a protection, don't we? I think it was Pastor Robert talked about superheroes. We don't need a spider to bite us. We don't need to turn green when we get angry. We don't need to come from a planet. We don't need to have a cape. And one thing about superheroes, they all had to hide their identity. They didn't know who they were. We don't have to hide identity. We want to shine out Jesus, don't we? And he's protecting us. That's how Jesus is like a superhero, I suppose, but it's through his blood. It's not by lasers or superpowers. It's by his blood that washes us clean and strengthens us into him. It's everything in the blood of Jesus that's in it for us, isn't it? We have the Holy Spirit. We have three in one, isn't it? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's name is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Why was Jesus tempted? Why would he let himself be tempted? He's God, yeah? And he's already defeated Satan. He shot him out from hell, from heaven, like lightning, wasn't it? He came onto this earth. So why would he let Satan tempt him? Temptation is part of the human experience. For Jesus to be fully human, for him to understand us, he had to face temptation. And second, Jesus had to undo Adam's work. Adam, though created perfect, gave in to temptation and passed sin onto the whole human race. Jesus, by contrast, resisted Satan. His victory offers salvation to all of Adam's descendants. In Hebrews 4:15, he says, "This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." Our high priest is Jesus Christ. But as a human being, I think I would have been tempted to say, "You just wait till one Sunday morning, you know, and you'll find out who has power." Because he didn't. "And I'll be wiping out the grave. And I'll be victorious. You just wait one Sunday morning." But Jesus was in the spirit, wasn't he? He was patient. He was faithful. He was kind. He was loving. Yeah. I don't even remember. We used to have there was a toy from the 70s, 80s called a Rubik's Cube. It was like a puzzle. Yeah. It was red. You had like red, orange, blue, green, white, and yellow. And you had to get them, twist it and turn it so that all the sides were the same colours. Yeah. And I thought I could do it. In fact, even at the time I was at school, the people were giving out leaflets. They didn't print it out because we didn't have computers. They were written out. And it was how to do, like a theory, and how to do the Rubik's Cube. You turn it this way, you turn it that way, and this way and that way, and it came up out. Other people cheated and just pulled it apart and then put it back together. And I one day at night thought, I did it. And I was twisting and turning and doing this and doing that. And I thought, yeah, I've done it. Fantastic. The following morning in daylight, I hadn't. The yellow and white were mixed together. The blue and the green were mixed together. And the red and the orange were mixed together. See, I'm not colourblind. I can see colours, but I'm colour deficient. White and yellow look the same in under lamplight. Blue and green look the same. And red and orange look the same. And I thought when I was doing it, I might have thinking, well, it might be the same. I'm not sure. I weren't concentrating properly. Or I might have thought, I want it to be like that because I wanted to complete the puzzle. But there in the morning, it was for plain as daylight, I had not done it. And I've never done it since. Okay. But then you hear about children who, on YouTube, and they get the glasses for the first time. They're hard to see, and they can see, but it's just shapes, isn't it? Or very, you know, and they need these special glasses. And when they see them, the glasses being put on their face, they're like this. And they see the mum and the dad for the first time, and they can see. You know, you see the amazement, the joy on their faces, don't you? The smile on them. And when they're deaf or hard of hearing, and they put the hearing aid on them, and they're trying to get away from it, you know, but then you get it on, and then, what's that? And then they can hear the mum and the dad speaking, they can hear voices, they can hear sound. Again, the joy, and it's marvellous, isn't it? And then there's special glasses that you can get for colour blindness. And you put them on and you see people putting them on, like even old people, you know, they've been colour blind for all their lives, and they put these glasses on and you can see colour for the first time. And you're looking around, and people have to point out that that's red, that's green, because they've never seen colour before, so they don't know what it is. But there it is, and that's like the Holy Spirit in us, isn't it? We, as children, as adults, and you know, of the world, you've heard about the Bible, you've read it, you've done Christmas. Surely you've done Christmas. You know, we've heard about Jesus, but it doesn't come to life, does it? We don't hear it, we don't speak it. But then when the Holy Spirit comes in us, our inner eyes, he takes away the scales, doesn't he? And we can see. He clears our inner ears out, so we hear the word of God, we hear. And when he puts our colorblind glasses on, we see the world for what it is. No, the beauty of the world. We see the beauty of the word. We can see it in full color. It comes to life, doesn't it? And that's only because the Holy Spirit is in us. Without the Holy Spirit, it's just a book. It's just the pages. It doesn't make any sense, does it? But the Holy Spirit gives us that understanding. He prays for us when we don't know how to pray. He translates our prayers. He gives us the spirits. You have the spiritual gifts, don't you? In tongues, in interpretation, and all the gifts. Yeah? But it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can receive them gifts. Yeah. The devil is a tempter and he's a deceiver. He deceived Adam and Eve, didn't he? He told them that God said, you won't die. And God said, you will die if you eat the fruit of the tree. And then you've got Moses. Right? God had told him to speak to the rock. This is the second time he was told to speak to the rock. The first time he had to hit the rock. And then living water would come out. And they could all have a drink and the animals could drink. But the second time, like I say, God said, speak to the rock. And as Moses was walking towards the rock, he could hear Satan saying, you speak, you're mumbling. You know what you're like about speaking. Time you say the right words, they'll have all died of thirst. You hit it the last time, do it again, just hit it. Look at all these people. They're always mourning and whinging. How many times do you have to be on your knees before, you know, you're all on your knees pleading to God to save them? They're always whinging. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Why are you bringing us in this wilderness? And through all that, whispering, he struck the rock. He didn't strike it once. He struck it twice, didn't he? And then that's when he lost. You know, God said he couldn't go into the promised land. He'd lost that gift, didn't he? And you're wondering why, well, he's just hit a rock. You know, what harm could he have done, really? You know, but what did he come out of it? I think this theological way of saying it is that God was saying the word is more powerful than the stick. When we beat people with a stick about God, they back off and they're bruised. But when we speak the word, it's more powerful, isn't it? What we say is more powerful than what we've been hitting them with Bible bashing, yeah? And that's why what God was trying to show the people, that the power of the word was more than a stick. They've been in slavery. They've been kept in slavery all the time, haven't they? Been under the whip. And yet Moses spoke to Pharaoh, didn't he? It was through it, using God's words, he spoke to him. And it was through him speaking that they were released, wasn't it? The answer, he couldn't. Moses hadn't got the power to set up an army to fight the Pharaoh. So his stick would have been useless, wouldn't it? But because of his words and speaking of God and what God had told him to say, it became powerful, didn't it? It's like in us. God gives us the words to speak to the lost, to the fallen, to the sick. We speak the words, didn't it? God spoke the word and the world came about, didn't he? He spoke and the animals were around. He spoke and the trees were about. He's speaking. Power in the voice, the power in the words, the living word. Jesus was the word, wasn't he? He was more powerful than Jesus. The Holy Spirit is there to give you them words. We don't do it in our own strength. We think. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit will give you a passage. Or he'll give you just a one word. And then it comes out, doesn't it? You hear a word and then you can converse into that word. But bring the word of God into that conversation. As opposed to the worldly conversation. You turn it around, don't you? But the Holy Spirit is giving you them words to speak. He's giving you that power to speak the word of God. David and Bathsheba. Look at her. Wow. You're only looking. But the looking turned into action. And action turned into murder. And murder turned into the death of a child. But it was only when he repented, truly repented, that he asked for a clean heart, didn't he? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to the great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart. It's in Psalm 51. All of Psalm 51 is of repentance, how David repented of what he'd done. He'd known what he'd done. And that's what makes the difference, isn't it? If he hadn't repented, he wouldn't have been the man after God's own heart, would he? He would have been just another king. He'd have been like Saul, who was spirit-led. But then he let pride, he let fear, and he lost. He didn't have that intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and he lost his king. He lost God, didn't he? Because he didn't have that intimacy with the Holy Spirit that we should have. We have an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It's what sets us apart. In John 14, verse 26, he says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Jesus rebuked Satan with the word saying, it is written. He didn't get angry and he didn't get frustrated. He didn't lose control. Because when we get lose control, when we get angry, that's when we say things that we shouldn't say. Isn't it? It's when the worldly words start coming out of our mouth. We might start swearing. We might start saying things that, you know, and once it's out, isn't it? You can't bring it back. So in love, in patience, in faithfulness, that's when Jesus spoke out the word, didn't he? He is the Word, so he couldn't do it any other way. You know? But we can make the mistakes, can't we? We're not perfect. We are not the Word, but the Word lives in us. He was showing us how to live in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. As a child of God, you want to shape your life around the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Someone who walks in the Spirit patterns their life after Jesus Christ. In verse 14, still in chapter 1, it says, "Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" The Jewish nation were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for a Savior. But their idea of a Savior was one who would conquer the Roman Empire. Who would take them out of that slavery. For 400 years or more, they was in Egypt, in slavery, and in bondage. And it was then God came and sent Moses to bring them out of the slavery, didn't he? In between Malachi and Matthew, the New Testament, there was roughly about 400 years of where God didn't speak. So they've been waiting for another 400 years. And they must have thought, oh, this is the time, because we all know God's plan and timing is perfect. So they thought that this was the time that he was going to come and destroy the Roman Empire. But he wasn't, did he? He was come not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. He was for everybody. And this is the good news, that it's for all, not just for the Jews. The Jews first, then the Gentiles. It's for everybody, the good news. And Jesus says it like this. Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." That's John 14:6. John 3:5-6 says, Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." In verse 3 says, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Living in the fruit of the Spirit means you are aware of the influences of the Holy Spirit. Seems mad that there was Nicodemus who was asking these, "How can you be born again? How can you come into the kingdom of God?" And Jesus was saying, "You have to be born again." Well, that's just an American fad. It's just a bit fantasy. You know? It's come from America, this born again Christianity. But it's not, it's in the Word of God, and it's here in the Bible, isn't it? People, even Christians, are saying, "No, it's not really that. That was for that time, it's for this. It's not that, it's not this." But it's written in the Word of God that we have to be born again. Born of water, baptized in water, born of the Spirit. Yeah? And that's how we've had to live our lives. See, we're crackpots, aren't we? We're empty vessels. We were empty vessels, cracked because of our sins, our iniquities, and our troubles. Yet when the Holy Spirit is in us, it's shining out into it. The cracks are being filled by light. Our lives are being filled by the light of God, and we're shining out. To the world, we are look like crackpots. But to God, we're fully filled, light-shining crackpots. Yeah? And we've got to shine out to the world. We're not to cover our cracks up with our own understanding, with our own, get some more mortar or something to try and cover up all the cracks. We don't want to hide the fact that we have the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be selfish and keep the Holy Spirit to ourselves. We don't want to keep the good news to ourselves. Don't tell anybody. Well, I'll tell you the secret, but don't say anything to anybody else. No, we want to shout it with a voice, loud voice, the good news, don't we? The good news, the gospel. And it's all four gospels are different. They have the same message, but written differently. We can come to the good news in different ways, can't we? We can be taught the good news in a different way. Notice how Jesus came from Nazareth, and Nazareth was where they say a town that nothing good comes from Nazareth. Well, Jesus came from Nazareth, didn't he? And that's good news. And he's the one, so it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter how much sin you've done, how bad you sin, you think you've done sinned. It doesn't matter about your education. It doesn't matter that you weren't you didn't come as a child, as a, you know, as a Christian. You lived your life in sin for 40, 60 years. It doesn't matter how long. When you come, he's always there with his arms open. He's always there to say, welcome, come in. Yeah? That's the good news, that his blood was shed for all, not just for the rich, not just for the well-educated, not for the white person, not for the black person. It's all races, isn't it? Not for the Jews, not for the Gentiles. It's all nations. There's no black church. There's no white church. It's all one church, isn't it? Racism is gone. In this family, there should be no. There's no racism, is there? Or there should be no racism in a family. We welcome all to come. We don't judge you and look here. Oh, you might smell. We're not going to let you come into this house. You might be, you know, you're a robber, or a thief, or a murderer, whatever. They're all welcome. But they're welcome when they repent of the sins and when they turn to Jesus and say, look, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Saviour. Yeah? And that's how we need to portray our lives. That's how we can tell the story, how we can give the good news out, is how we live our lives, how we let the Holy Spirit shine in us. Because there is a change, isn't there? When your old self, and you go back to your friends, and they can see a change in you, can't they? You're not the swearing, joking type anymore. You don't swear anymore. You might stop smoking, or you don't go out, or let's go out on a bender. No, you're okay. It's not for me anymore. Let's take some of these drugs. No, that's not for me anymore. I've got my Jesus now. I've not got this. And they turn away from you, don't they? They mock you. They try to turn back and come back to their ways. Whereas that's where Satan is trying to test you, to try and grab you back. Because he doesn't give a monkey's way how you live your life. He can give a monkey's whether you suffer or in pain. He'll show you the glory. He'll show you the good, you know, the juicy parts, like, you know, how life can be. But it's all false, isn't it? It's a false ecstasy. It's like taking a drug. It lasts for so long, but then after there's a come down, isn't it? You can be drunk in the morning, you know, on a good party and be drunk and having a laugh and a joke. The following morning, 9 out of 10 times you say, never again. You're talking to the shanks, you know, the toilet all night, telling him, never again, never again. You know, that's a life that, you know, it tells you what's good, but it doesn't tell you what, you know, the bad news. Yeah? Where Jesus ties, gives us the good news and the bad news. See, there's a saying, empty vessels make more noise. That means that those with least talent and knowledge usually speak the loudest and create the most fuss. Whatever makes their presence felt the most. See, when they don't know the word of God, you know, non-Christians, they tend to, you know, they shout the loudest, don't they? And they, you know, they bicker and they moan and they whinge about us. And they tell us, you know, we're all crackpots, we're brainwashing people. They'll quote Bibles as well, the scripture that they've heard from school, but they don't give it in the context of what it was written. They give it, it's in a false context, it's in their own, and they do make the more noise. Yeah, when we're full of the Spirit, the noise that's coming out is a song, isn't it? We're singing the gospel, we're singing about God, aren't we? We're not rattling around looking for the right words to speak, because we're full of the Holy Spirit, we're full of the Word, we know straight away what to say, don't we? And it's calming, it's not fuss, it's in self-control, isn't it? See, empty minds have more thoughts. When you're thinking about nothing, you tend to think about rubbish things, don't you? But when you're thinking about God, you know, it comes into you, you know, he empowers you, you marvel at why he's speaking to you, you know, just simple things, isn't it? You could see a tree and think, wow, you know, and then God speaks to you through this tree or sunrise or a field or anything. And God's always there speaking, isn't it? But if you're full of emptiness and just thinking, no, I couldn't be bothered. Most people, when you ask about Christianity, you know, do you believe in God? No, I'm not bothered. Is there? If there is, there isn't. You know, they're just lethargic, aren't they? They're just empty. when you're full of the Spirit, oh, is there a God? Yeah, I know there's a God. Yeah, and you can speak and speak and speak. And then, hey, well, she shut up. empty hearts are still wondering whether everything will be the same as it was. Those who don't know the word seem to shout the loudest and have an intimacy with God. Don't have an intimacy with God seem to rebuke the loudest. I have a story to tell, one where a blind man can see, a deaf man can hear, where a poor man can become rich, a sick man can be made well, even a dead man can become alive. It's in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's good news. Bad news comes before good news, because the gospel is bad news as well as good news. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life. That's good news. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my song, this is my story, praising my Saviour all the day long. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And when we finish with the forevers, we simply say, Amen. That's my story. As we've heard in the notices, there is an invitation to be baptised. There's also, we don't have to wait for an Alpha weekend to be baptised in the Holy Spirit. If you feel that you're empty, or you feel that the Holy Spirit isn't in you, or you're not having the fruits of the Spirit in your life, and feel welcome, and we'll pray and to be baptised in the Holy Spirit. We're always here, the elders. I'm an elder, there's Steppy, there's Emily, Bert, Lucy, like a leadership. But we're all leaders in Christ, aren't we? We're all priests. Right? We're all priests in Christ. So we don't have to just turn to a leader. You don't have to be, don't be embarrassed. Don't let Satan say, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll be okay. Don't let Satan take away the gift of God. Don't let Satan take away that power in the Holy Spirit. Don't let fear of man, fear of Satan, have the fear of God in you. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're here for us, Lord, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that there's a movement in the Spirit this morning, Lord, that we go away this morning, not the same, Lord, but changed. That the Spirit is in us, Lord, and we can speak your word, Lord, the good news to those who need it, Lord. That you give us the words to speak, to enrich, to heal, to just comfort those who are in need, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit gives us them words, Lord. Speak to us in an easy way, Lord. And speak to us, Lord, in a loving heart. And I pray, Lord, that we come away here with a clean heart, Father God, this morning. That our path is narrow, Lord. Because many will be going down the broad path, Lord. Only a few are going down the narrow path, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we are the ones that are going through the narrow path, Lord. I pray for those who are here at Eddie's funeral, Lord. They too are touched by the word of God, Lord. That their hearts are changed, Lord. Their hearts are softened, Lord. I pray, Lord, that their inner ears and inner eyes are open, Lord, to hear the word of God, Lord. To see what a life-giving change that you've made into our lives. How you are a living God. And you're living in us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.